Hello, 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 and welcome to the Drag Race Recap here on Reality TV Wrap-Ups. I'm your host, Liana Boris, and we are here to talk about the ninth penultimate episode of Canada's Drag Race. Now, I am not alone. Of course, we have a wonderful panel to discuss all of these interesting events, all of the outfits that we got to see in the Snowball episode. First, I'd love to welcome in Aman Adwin. Aman, how are you?
I am delicious and cold and ready for the winter, darling. Ready for it.
You could do the Blair St. Clair shh and then the shiver. Fabulous.
This is why you need to be watching the video shit, okay?
Yes, exactly. Perfect plug. We are, of course, on YouTube. Come check out the video. Rob has a podcast YouTube page. This panel would not be complete if it was not for another woman here with us today, Beth Dixon. Beth, how are you?
I'm feeling so good. I got my Michelle Visage dose of critiques that I needed for this season. And I'm feeling like, okay, I think we're ready to get into the good critiques. I'm good.
The bodysuit critique. So here.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. We also have a special guest here for you today. You have heard her on a numerous Big Brother podcasts, including talking with me about Mr. Cody Calafiore in the Hypothetically Speaking. It is from the class of 2020, Mari Forth. Mari, how are you?
Hi, everybody. I'm glad to be here to talk Canada's Drag Race. And in the words of one of my favorite Drag Race alum, guess who's black in the house? Hey!
Oh, great. Well, I can't wait to get all of your thoughts, Mari, on this episode and the season as a whole. But first, do you want to just introduce yourself to the Drag Race listeners? A little bit about your background with Drag Race, a little bit about you.
Yes. I, of course, am a reality TV junkie, but Drag Race was like, when I say I stumbled upon Drag Race like 10 years ago, I mean, I literally stumbled. I was just like, hey, what's this? And I ended up watching season one. I was like, oh, that was cool. That was cute. I remember rooting for BB, and then I remember forgetting about it. And then I remember, oh, wait. Like every few months, I would check back in. I was like, oh, a new season. And it probably wasn't until season six that I was like, okay, so they are consistently putting this show on. I need to follow it. And from six on, I was there for every premiere, every episode. So I love Drag Race. It has really just opened so many, doors for me, in a sense, like into the community, the LGBTQ community, and just getting to hear all of their stories just across the board. And now here in Canada, just their stories different from the US. And it's just been amazing. It really has been. And Drag Race really has become transcendent. It's mainstream. It's here now. And I'm glad for it. I mean, you know, some of the changes have been a little rocky, but other than that, I'm glad that it's reaching like a wider audience. And I know I tell everybody to watch it if I could.
Yes.
Well, and Mari, I think you bring up a really great point about how Drag Race can be educational. Yes. And I think this episode in particular, which I am shocked, although kind of not shocked because Canadians' education system is better than ours, but we finally got the ballroom education scene mm-hmm. in this episode, yes. Which as soon as I saw, I was like, oh my God, Beth is going to love this.
I'm so down. I was like, yes. I loved the way so many of the queens explained specifically the class, the socioeconomic implications of the ball scene, that it wasn't just for POC queer members of, you know, different inner city communities that were coming together. Mm-hmm. It was about seeing the things that were unattainable, not only because of your race or ethnic background, but because of your financial situation, how there was no ways to really there was no social mobility. And so it was saying like, these are mm-hmm. the things that we see, like when you hear like executive realness or something like that, like they are white men and occasionally women who are able to attain those. And so people mm-hmm. of all genders, races, socioeconomic status, etc., could come into the ball scene and say, this is what I would do in order to fit in. And this is my area to showcase how I would rock that and embody what I can't have in the real world. And I loved the explanation so much. And I was, yeah, I was living.
Well, and I think also, Mon, it was not just the ball. So, of course, in this episode, we get the ball, the snowball, where you do the three different looks. And so it was education on explaining where that comes from, but also just so many terms, phrases, and slang that we use today that are so commonplace that I swear I've heard one Rob Sester Nino use. Yeah. And like, I guarantee you has no idea where that comes from.
Yeah, we are really in the middle of a bit of a drag renaissance, I would say, with the advent of RuPaul's Drag Race and its many iterations across the globe now, to the point where all of these verbs, or this verbiage rather, and these terms and this slang have become commonplace in a lot of different places. So it's really, really cool to see the show acknowledge that all of this has a root. We have to remember where it comes from and that it's not just like this next cool thing. Like, I mean, even a friend of mine, and he's a Black queer man. I had this conversation with him maybe about a year ago. And I forget what I was saying, but I used the word tea in one of my sentences. And he was like, oh my goodness, I love that. I love that. I love that. Like, I was like, yeah, you know, that US, it hasn't really been, that's not a new thing, right? He's like, yes, it is. Like, that's like a new term now. I'm like, you are a Black gay man and you do not know like the origins of like that word. It's just like, so people don't know. Like, you think that this kind of stuff is like universal, but they don't know. So I'm really, really proud that they decided to go ahead and give us that history, because context matters, you know, history matters. And because none of this would exist if it wasn't for people trying to seek joy in a very miserable situation.
Absolutely. So, that was my first thought. That was my first thought too. When they started, I was like, oh, okay. Cause I was like, you know, I knew this. But then I was like, but you know what? There's probably a lot of people out there that don't know it. And it was a very educational and teaching moment. Yes. And, you know, we're all online. We see the people using terminology that they sometimes don't know the where it comes from a lot. So I thought it was like, it was perfect. They explained it perfectly. They explained it in a way that I think if you've never heard those terms, or even if you have, that you could follow up with it. And I just think it's amazing. And I love that the ballroom culture is becoming way more mainstream, but like just getting more shine and getting more acknowledgement, especially with other TV shows now too.
It's just crazy to think that like a couple years back, RuPaul was doing all these interviews. Like, it was around the season 7, season 8 era when the show was beginning to creep into the mainstream. And RuPaul just kept saying, drag will never be mainstream. It will never be mainstream. It will never be mainstream. And I think that I still kind of agree with him, because like the ballroom culture, like those pure drag shows,
yes,
they're still not like widely known about. People just know RuPaul's Drag Race and that's it, and that's what that's their repertoire for drag. But it's just interesting that he was so adamant that like his little show would remain this, you know, very esoteric arena, and now it's, you can't escape it. It's like season, like we've been podcasting about Drag Race for what, half a year now? Like,
yeah,
it's insane.
Yeah, I definitely think that, oh, sorry, Liana.
No. Go ahead, Beth.
I was just going to say, I definitely feel like there's a difference, though. I think that what we have started to see is that Drag Race has become mainstream, and you'll see like in like with social media and influencers and everything, there's like a mainstream drag. But then there's really like what drag is at its roots, and drag is not necessarily glamorous or have a specific aesthetic to it that we often see. Like, I was actually happy that Michelle Visage in this episode actually brought up the controversy about padding, which we will actually probably get into, I'm sure, later. But the idea that like, if you're going to do a female illusion, it has to look a certain way. And we've had Drag Race contestants who have really challenged that in the past, even someone like Naomi Smalls, who wasn't wearing anything on her chest, you know, or we had
Aquaria.
Like, we've had people who have really had all of these different I don't know, like female illusions or kind of gender queer illusions or whatever the milk. I mean, like, look at what milk is that, you know, she's coming out with a beard. And then they had a bearded runway like the next season because of her. You know, there's all these different kinds of things where Drag Race, we have to remember, might be mainstream, but the act of being in drag will always be a counterculture artistic movement. And I think that that's what I think is really exciting is now you have people who are willing to listen to the voices and validate the art that is coming out of the ball scene or any kind of other drag scene. And I think that is what I think is the most important thing we have to remember about Drag Race.
Drag is for the people.
Well, I think that point exactly. I mean, drag inherently comes from counterculture. So if drag becomes culture, then it can't be counter. You know what I mean? Like there's some element to it that it just by nature of what drag, the origin of drag and what it was supposed to be, it just doesn't fit. But that's really tricky, especially when you have a show like Drag Race that is permeating into the mainstream. When again, Robin Akiva do a podcast for Robin Akiva need a podcast all about drag. Like, I don't know what that says. Is that mainstream? But of course, you have so many other facets. And so for the show Canada, finally, because the U.S. come to it to explain where that came from, I think was really fantastic.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's get into what happened in this episode. So we're going to go ahead and kick things off with the mini challenge because there wasn't a whole lot that was happening, a little bit of drama before, but we'll get into that later. So for the mini challenge this week, we had a screen test, which this was the longest mini challenge I think I've ever seen.
Sexy challenge, really.
But we had Sabrina Jales, I believe is you how you say her name. She's a comedian. So I recognized her from the Patricia Heaton show, Carol Second Act, that like just got canceled, but like very briefly, because I think she was like one of the nurses in the show. But Rita's explanation I think was great. Work.
I made a note, a mental note to bring that up, which was just literally going to be none of these queens knew who she was, and they were really struggling to find a good confessional for it. So work. Made work. It.
I thought she was hilarious, though. So they have to sing the national anthem, but be funny, right? And so she, you know, Sabrina is giving all these cues, so trying to, like, get them to be funny. Aman, was there any standouts, anything that really made you laugh in this?
I mean, good for Rita. Good for Rita Baga. She really committed to the character that she was going with. At first, I was getting a little nervous because she was going for, like, the bit of the rude contestant. Mm-hmm. And I was like, ooh, that might not go over too well, but she really like sunk into it, and Sabrina and Stacy seem to be along for the ride, especially at the end where she decides to take the slow version of the anthem, falls asleep. Sabrina has to come over to her. She wakes up at the last minute, like just perfect improvisation. She was really like living for the whole challenge. I thought that was really a standout performance for me.
Yeah, Mari, I think the part that I laughed the most at was when she was doing the underwater, but then came up for a breath. I thought that attention to detail was just so hilarious.
Rita did so good. And she was honestly, her take on it was what I thought of when they said what the challenge was. The chantreuse, like, I mean, we didn't flash. If you didn't flash a Mariah Carey diva, I don't understand what you're doing here. So like when she came out with the hair and the gown and then the attitude, I thought she nailed it. And I was a little bit surprised that the route that the other girls went. But Rita nailed it. Priyanka and Scarlett Bobo, I don't understand how you don't wear like a dress there. I mean, I get they wanted to be more Canadian, but I don't understand how you don't conjure up, you know, your Whitney's, your Aretha singing the national anthem. Why don't you go full glam like Rita and Jimbo kind of went? So
glam for Jimbo. Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I think it was great because with such a long mini challenge, you actually could see like they just ran out of stuff to show for Scarlett and Priyanka. They just kept going back between Jimbo and Rita for like the last 2 minutes of it. And I think that was appropriate because I wasn't really laughing at Priyanka or Scarlett, which is too bad because I find both of them normally pretty funny or entertaining. But
Priyanka said that she was like, I don't know if she talked about it before this episode, but she mentioned how she has experience in improv. And I was like,
I wouldn't have said that, girl. Like,
I was like, she has proven. She's now said, oh, yeah, I have improv experience, and then like bombed both the improv challenges. And on top of that, isn't able to deliver here. I'm like, girl, She might want to go back to some of the classes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because she was saying that she, I'm in childhood or child television, blah, 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 whatever. And I think that's like sort of part of what her background is. So maybe she's good for child. Is child improv different than adult improv?
Yeah, she's good at entertaining five-year-olds.
Yes, right. Thank you.
But you know, in a lot of ways, I feel like entertaining five-year-olds, entertaining people like RuPaul. So maybe if RuPaul were on the panel.
Which is so weird because she's so funny just being herself. So why is it as soon as like the challenge switches on, is like something disconnects there? It's the craziest thing. She's like my favorite and I love her confessional. Right. Oh my God. So I don't understand where the disconnect there is.
I'll tell you it's where the disconnect is, because I'm going to put on my RuPaul hat and say like she's getting too into her head and her inner saboteur is really just messing with her. And what she needs to do is just not listen to that voice, say, okay, I hear you, but blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, just be yourself.
Yep.
Did I nail it? Was that good? Is that pretty much it? Wow. Yes.
The Emmy is in the mail. We're getting it here right now.
It's been about time.
You just got to hug somebody awkwardly and then that'll really like mail it.
I'm your mom now.
If I do that, I accept it. Is that good?
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful. All right. Well, let's head on over to talk about the main challenge, because this was the snowball. So the three different looks that the queens had to produce were CEO, executive, holiday party realness, the après-ski party, icy walk of shame look, and of course the icy queen eleganza, where the icy queen eleganza had to be made out of items that were provided by the show. So of course, with our traditional workroom construction challenge montage, we have to have someone who just glues stuff to a bodysuit. And Amon, this was Priyanka.
And she knew it, too. She knew what she was in for. She was like, I know what's going to happen in the edit. I'm just going to be upfront about it. Look, I'm finding any kind of snowflake, and I'm going to glue it onto this bodice. And that's just what I'm just going to try and glue as much as possible to make it seem like it's not glued as much as possible. So, I mean, everybody does it. There's always that one queen that they just, they're not, you know, they're not a seamstress. So they have to do arts and crafts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I thought what was... Yeah, go ahead, Mari.
Oh, I'm sorry. Then when Stacey McKenzie came in, she said she was going to have a full skirt. Didn't she tell her that? She's like, I'm going to have a skirt. It's going to have everything. And I was like,
hey, you got to make shit shine in front of those judges. And then
nothing.
I mean, she kind of made the outline of what it would have looked like, right? With that sort of,
paper glued to this corset.
Listen, if you're going to wear paper on the runway, you got to do it a la the Vixen. Because I love that. That's one of my favorite outfits that's ever come on Drag Race, honestly. But just all that paper stuff. You can't.
Yeah, that was a really good look. Yeah.
You just can't be coming out like, oh, okay, I have these four strips of paper connected to a longer strip of paper that goes around that I can't walk in.
Maybe if she were honest with Stacey, it'd be like, look, girl, I don't know what I'm doing. This is about to be really, really bad. I'm going to give it my all. Maybe Stacey would have like thought that it was going to be worse than it was on the runway and maybe like given her extra points. I don't know. A little reverse psychology here on the judges.
Because that's what I was hoping. I was hoping she was going to tell Stacey what she was going to do and Stacey would have given her some tips. But I literally wrote that down. She said, oh, it's going to have a skirt. It's going to have everything. And I was like, oh, so she is going to put some fabric on there.
No.
Low expectations is really what you need to go for. But I think what was really funny to me was then when they were, you know, introducing, oh, Michelle Visage is going to be the guest judge this week. The clip that they showed was her critiquing Vanjie for just wearing a corset and panties, Beth. This was foreshadowing to the T.
I literally sat back and I was like, oh no, my prediction about this week is going to come true. I was the only person who said Priyanka was going to go home. And oh no, like I literally sat back and I was like, I don't want to be right. I don't want to be right. But thankfully I wasn't right. So we're good about that. But it was really, really great foreshadowing about who was going to go in the bottom. I felt like this editing throughout the entirety of the episode was pretty like Scarlett was clearly going to either get a win or was going home. And we knew that going into the episode. And I felt like the edit was just like, yeah, we already know that you know this. So,
yeah,
built her up.
Yeah. And I think the other story of the edit was Jimbo being cocky. That was like the other note that I had, Mari.
Yeah. And this is one of the things I've been wanting to say about Canada's Drag Race since you had told me to look out for the editing for it. The editing in Canada's Drag Race has been like very refreshing. It showed us what's actually going on, it feels like. And yet they are still doing these rigged results. So when they do these rigged results with no editing to back it up, I am thoroughly confused. And I don't mean rigged like real rigged, but like the episode that Rita Vega got her third win in that improv challenge, when we saw nothing that would suggest that she was like would have gotten that win. I thought Lemon or Priyanka was going to get that win, or Scarlett getting the mini win, when I was like, I thought again, Lemon was funnier. Like, we're getting all of these wins, but the editing isn't backing up the wins or even the losses. Last week, Lemon and Rita's lip sync for your life. I was living. I was yelling at the TV, double Shantae, double Shantae. Mm-hmm. And then Lemon goes and I was heartbroken. Like,
they said, no, we only got 10 episodes, honey.
Right. We got to bring this under budget and on time.
Exactly. And so the editing has been, I really do feel like it has been, it's felt more like less hands off. It felt very refreshing. I really do feel like we're getting what's going on in the workroom, but it's just not matching some of these challenge wins to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you think that the editing matched the challenge win here? Like, do you think that Scarlett was edited to show that she would win?
Well, like Beth said, it was either she was going to win or go home. Like, and that's what it was. And, you know, she won. So I felt like that was appropriate. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the two things came true.
Yeah.
Okay, the only one other thing I want to point out from the workroom before we actually get into all of these different runway looks was when Priyanka was, like, skiing as white people behavior. I laughed so hard. I took
offense to that, okay? Because I was a part of ski club from sixth grade to senior year in high school, okay? Yep. And I loved skiing. Yes, it's cold. Yes, I was one of the maybe 10 black people at the entire resort. But it was great. I had a great time.
Howard University has a Martin Luther King Jr. ski trip every MLK day, and I went to every single one of them. Learned to ski during college.
I mentor. I have a couple different high school students that I mentor. And one of them, he's black from Cameroon. And he was like, skiing is my most favorite thing in the entire world. He's like, I came from Cameroon. I found skiing and I love that shit.
Like, meanwhile, catch me, a full white person who's like living all near mountains and such. And I'm like, I don't ski.
Nope. Okay.
I'm so excited to ski this winter. Like, it's the perfect social distancing activity in the winter. Oh, I'm down for it. You're already all. Yep, you got the mask. You got everything. Yeah.
It reminded me. There's this TikTok meme of where it's a voiceover and it's of a cat and it's this woman going like, "Do not do that. That is Caucasian kitty shit. Caucasian people shit."
Oh man, but Priyanka wasn't lying. I was like, I really wanted to know a little bit more of the opera ski thing because I don't think they really told us that much, but
it's like a very Canadian thing. It's like an after you're skiing on the hill, you go to the après ski. So it's after ski, like the after skiing party. And so this is the après ski party. So it's like the after the party, right? So it's the icy walk of shame. Yeah. So I thought that was really funny.
Now let's take a break to hear a word from our sponsors. And we are back.
All right. Well, let's just go ahead and jump right on into the runway because we have a bunch of looks to talk about. So, of course, we get Miss Michelle Visage here as our guest host, which I thought, Beth, she just, this is the role she was born to play. She has been training as the understudy to RuPaul for so long.
Listen, she is absolutely always been my favorite judge, and she proved it with this episode of why. Where we have seen shortcomings in this first season while the three judges are trying to get into their roles, Michelle comes in and just is like, is the pro, like, hold my beer, I got this. I'm gonna show you exactly. I'm probably hold my wine, actually I don't think she drinks, but whatever. Hold my seltzer water. But I think what I loved about Michelle is that not only is she an incredible host, she hosts all these different tours that a lot of the Drag Race girls go on. I've had the opportunity to see her a couple of times. She is and she's a radio podcaster. I mean, she has a huge background in hosting shows. Mm-hmm. So like, this is a great combination of skills, specifically because Canada's Drag Race has had all the guest judges really kind of be like the main judge almost in a way. They introduce mm-hmm. everything. So this was great to see her in that capacity. But what I love the most about Michelle Visage's ability to come in and judge the show is not even knowing the queens. She provides great constructive criticism with suggestions of how they can improve mm-hmm. without being just outwardly bitchy, like still funny moments, but everything that she said, even if you didn't agree with it, you would leave going like, oh, at least that there's a nugget of information I can like take that and apply it to. Mm-hmm. And it was really refreshing to see that in the penultimate episode, especially as the remaining three queens go on to the last episode, they can kind of keep that in their minds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I thought it was very refreshing to see her. I mean, and like you said, the guest judge in a lot of ways does a lot of what RuPaul would be doing. So it was nice to get to see, oh, Michelle's taking over. Like, because people have been speculating as to whether or not Michelle was going to, you know, divest from RuPaul's Drag Race and open up something of her own. And if this is like an idea of what we might see with just Michelle Visage, I'm subscribing. I want to see more. I want to see more of her thoughts. I thought she was great. I thought, especially in contrast with how a lot of us have been feeling about the judging as the season has come along with mm-hmm. Mr. Jeffrey Corey Chapman, it was kind of as if like all the kids had to like behave home. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I really appreciated her presence. And I thought that it was very needed, especially towards mm-hmm. the end of the competition.
Yeah, so what you're saying is if RuPaul accidentally slips on some beads that were just thrusted about, then we would be okay with Michelle stepping
in. RuPaul not coming to the apparatus party, like for whatever reason, you get stuck on the mountain, I'm fine with Michelle taking over.
Yeah, Michelle brings, like, the funny thing is in U.S. Drag Race, Michelle is the mean judge, you know what I'm saying? Like, she's the Simon Cowell, she's the one that tells it straight. But then we go to Canada and we see what some actual mean judging is, and we're like, oh, please, Michelle, please come and save these people. So Michelle is great. She is really good at the constructive criticism, like Beth said, and just like you can feel that she values the contestants and really wants them to do well. And she clocked Jimbo's makeup, didn't she? Wasn't she the one who said?
Yep.
Funny. Yeah. So Michelle's great. She really is one of a kind. Mm-hmm.
But did we notice the difference there between Michelle telling Jimbo, you might want to consider as you tan to bring this down here, versus Jeffrey Boyer Chapman saying, maybe you should manage your time better? There's a difference there. I don't know. One is actually applicable.
And I think the same thing with the padding comments as well, right? Totally. So with the comments that were made about Lemon, you know, versus how Michelle was able to handle this, I think it's subtle, the differences, mm-hmm. but I think it conveys the same message in a much better way. And I think mm-hmm. that's a representation of the fact that she's so seasoned and she's been doing this for so long versus, you know, the newbies that are hosting. So, and I think maybe that's one of the reasons why Stacey McKenzie actually is our favorite judge on the show is because she's been doing this for Top Model. And so she knows how to give that type of criticism.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'm sorry, real quick, but do you guys think they're playing like those shady comments up more for TV and forgetting that, you know, we're here for like the queens and constructive criticism and we want to hear some actual like good tips? You know what I'm saying? Do you think that's what's going on?
You mean like the judges are playing it up?
Like those extra shady comments mm-hmm. for TV, you know?
So I do know, I read an interview with Jimbo, and Jimbo was saying that Jeffrey Boyer Chapman, Jimbo loved Jeffrey Boyer Chapman, okay? So I was like, I'm sorry, what? But he, apparently he was trying to be the bitchy judge. He was like hired to be like the bitchy judge, or at least that's what Jimbo said. It's not like, oh, written in his contract. Yeah. Legendary children jacket and all. Yeah. But I think apparently, you know, he's seen the comments. And so Jimbo's like, yeah, hopefully he'll tone it down a little bit for next season. So I do think there is an element of playing it up, at least based on the one interview I read from Jimbo. So take it or leave it. But that's at least what I heard.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is it true that he got rid of his Twitter because the comments coming at him?
I mean, I did hear that both him and who else had to show? Oh, no, that was Widow was getting pushed away from drag because people were being like rude, which is like, what the?
Come on, man.
A, guys, like, there's no mean. Anyway, no, yes. No, as Julie Chen Moonves says, be kind. Remember to be kind.
Well, I just looked
don't
him
wear
up.
A mask if you're.
Oh, he's not on Twitter. Okay, so
see,
yeah.
I don't see him.
Yeah, he got. I was streaming the other day and somebody had been, because I was talking about how hurtful his comments are, not just to the individual that he's talking to, because even if they can handle it, how it's important to remember who is watching the show and who mm-hmm. the rhetorical audience is altogether. Yeah. And somebody was like, well, it doesn't excuse people for coming after him in such a way that it makes him want to delete his Twitter. And I said, no, right. That's not excusable. However, he should be releasing a statement that says, I see what you're saying. Thank you for letting me know. This was the impact of my words, and I will vow to do better moving forward while also mm-hmm. trying to bring entertainment to the show. Like, all he has to do is take ownership over that and show that, like, he understands the impact that he's made. And I think that all of us would be like, okay, great. I mean, the season was filmed months ago. It's not like he can do anything about it now, but if he can make those actions move forward, that's important. So I was just trying to show like the distinction between that and, but again, like we might sit here and like be upset with him on a podcast and talk about it every week, but I'm not like bombarding him personally. I'm not coming mm-hmm. at him on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And so I encourage anybody who listens to this podcast, if you share our sentiments, please don't like ever personally attack people mm-hmm. based off of what they say and do on a television show made for entertainment. Hopefully they're getting the message through the criticisms that they're seeing. And there's no point in going to attack people on a personal level.
Exactly. That is
well said.
Hammurabi code shit. We are no eye for an eye podcast here. Like, just because he says, we gotta go say something rude to him. No, and right. like, obviously, again, like I think he will learn. We've talked about this too. Like, it's an adjustment period. Like, I'm sure I've said stuff on podcasts and I was like trying to, you know, be entertaining, and I'm sure it was far, you know, took it over mm-hmm. the edge. Look, we all make mistakes. Okay,
I know I am.
So, I can honestly say I never. No,
all right. So let's remember to love and be kind, especially when we talk about some of these outfits, although I'm sure we will have some critiques here. So let's go ahead and we're going to talk queen by queen. So first, we're going to start with Jimbo and the CEO, I'm sorry, party executive, holiday party executive realness looks. All right. So Aman, you want to go ahead and kick things off? What do you think about Jimbo's look here?
Well, I love the mistletoe camel toe. I think that's wonderful. you know, I love the holidays, so I was getting my Christmas zhuzh. I agree with, I think it was Michelle that loved the jacket. It's just, it fits very well. The shoulders are just extravagant and dramatic. It's very drag. And it's, you know, it's a bit of a reveal, but it's an expected reveal, but it's still very, very fun. I love the fact that the bra is falling down and the tits are like fully painted. They're a little high. I mean, I don't have titties myself, but I feel like they're a little high. But I think that was a lot of fun. It was signature Bobo, or Jimbo. So
what I like the most about, I agree that I think the tits were a little high, but I think that that's even better because it like illustrates this like really outrageous executive character. Like, of course she probably got a boob lift. You know what I mean? Like, that just is a little too much kind of thing. So thankfully I think it kind of fit this particular character for her. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like the outside. I like the reveal. I could have actually done without the boobs, only because Jimbo had previously gotten the judging comment about being too sexy and stuff like that. I would have loved just the reveal, the lingerie staying in place. That would have made sense, you know, go home, unwrap your Christmas present. The falling down may have been just a tad bit too much just for me personally, mm-hmm. just because we previously seen it, basically.
I think the only thing I don't like is the fact that the top and the bottom don't match in terms of the reds. But other than that, I really liked this. I thought this was fun. Of course, you got to have the flask in there, which I think Priyanka does as well. So I thought this was good. And I thought that this was sort of the exaggeration of the CEO plus the hoe plus the holiday party. So it definitely fulfills the requirements of the category.
It was the perfect thing for her. Like, she acts like a hoe anyway. Yes. So it was the perfect category.
I mean, it was definitely Jimbo. That's for sure.
The only thing I wish she could have done, and as she kind of like progressively got drunker on the runway as the walk went, which I thought was great. It was a great performance. I wish she had some kind of wig reveal that revealed like the top wig was like perfectly pristine. And then like, as she got really drunk, she just takes it off. It's the same wig, but just like messed up. Like, I don't know if that's possible or not, but it just like, it ruined the illusion a little bit when she came out and she was fierce, but her hair was just like all askew. And I was like, I'm not getting the, and then she opened it up. I'm like, now I get it. And it only took a couple of seconds, but I just wish that there was something that could have shown like, this is how she arrives at the party. Mm-hmm. And this is how she's going home the next day. Like, you know, those kind of things would have been, it would have been fun, but I liked it. It fulfilled all the requirements for me. Mm-hmm. There we go.
The next look that Jimbo turns out. Oh, and by the way, we are looking at all 12 of these looks again on the YouTube page of Rob Has a Podcast. So this is Jimbo's après-ski look. So the icy walk of shame. Mari, what'd you think about this one?
I just laughed again looking at the video. I really did like this one. The, oh my God, the lash on the cheek. This was good, Jimbo. This was amazing. I thought this was just the right level of, characters. What is this about Canadian Drag Race that, like, you think a ball, you think of the looks? They're bringing, all of them were bringing characters, and it didn't seem like they were asked to do it. So I love that aspect of this. I love bringing a caricature to your outfit. So everything is good. I love it. The rainbow suit, the fur coat, the platforms.
Mm-hmm. I think that what you do actually bring up is a really great point. I'm actually very happy they all have characters, because it reminds me a lot about how people in the ball scene would sell what they're performing and putting on, right? It wasn't just, do you look the part? Are you passable for whatever the category is? It's, can you embody it from head to toe in all of your performance? And so, yeah, that's what realness is. Exactly. So like, having this ability for someone to like, come in and perform this exact character, have it still be Jimbo, but it's like, if Jimbo was this in this situation or pulling this outfit off, I love the outfit. I especially love the shoes and the toilet paper. Like, that to me just like really like was such a gag. But like, I feel like we all can envision like this woman, like we all know who this woman would be at any kind of party, but like, this definitely gave me ski, like after party vibes. Mm-hmm. I loved it.
Yeah, Aman, what do you think about this one?
Yeah, I wanted to know where she came from, because I wanted to like, I'd be like, you come from, okay, I'm gonna check out where you were just at, because you had a good time. So she looks like she's been through it.
I think this sort of answered the question for me, because I've always had this question. So, you know, when I was in undergrad, I went to undergrad in Southern California. It was usually warm the majority of the time. So when you would go out and party, you like could wear your skanky outfits, and that's fine. You didn't need a dress. You didn't need like a hat, gloves, coat, whatever. And I was always so curious about people who went to undergrad in cold towns. How did you look like a hoe and still party at the same time?
Freeze. You freeze. That's all it is.
Listen, there's a good solid month in the beginning of the second semester at the school I went to, where it is negative 15 degrees outside on a daily basis. And we still walk a mile outside risking the frostbite. With your skanky outfit underneath, to your said, you act like a little slut, but you go to that party and shred the coat, and then you're good to go. And on the way home, just put it back on.
It just feels like there's too many items to collect the morning after. It's like, I'm gonna forget something.
You don't forget the coat when it's negative 15. That's the nice part.
Yeah, well, that's what I loved about this outfit. To get to the outfit, was I was like, oh yes, this is also functional to me in terms of the ho after party outfit. And I love that she also had the food, which was classic. Yes. Classic night after. All right. The last Jimbo look is, of course, the Eleganza look, which was crafted based on the items that they had in the workroom. So, Beth, tell me about this look.
So I actually don't really hate the look. It seems like a lot of the criticisms were about the fact she couldn't walk in it, which I do think is incredible, or a very credible critique to give. My issue with this is I'm kind of sick of Jimbo wearing these high boots with every outfit that has a big cut in the skirt. I actually don't think the boots go with this outfit. It would have been much better for her to wear a stiletto or a heel of some sort that wasn't a boot. I love that the interior of the skirt is a different color than the outside, that it's like that blue. And then you have this iridescent, shiny outside that I really love. I also kind of wish, even though this is incredibly form hugging and that kind of thing, there's also a part of me that kind of wishes that she showed some versatility and didn't wear a large breastplate. Had either toned it down or had done something to show that she can pad in a different way without the use of a breastplate. Maybe that's just me, you know, having a one-off opinion or whatever, but I love the headdress part. I love everything about it. I didn't care for the makeup as much as other people will eventually say in the criticisms, but I thought this was really well constructed though.
I think, Aman, I didn't really notice the headpiece being so cumbersome. Like, even now, rewatching the video, it doesn't seem to be as much of a problem. I mean, we'll talk about the lip sync later, but it didn't seem to be as much of a problem when she at least was walking the runway that the judges made it seem.
Yeah, they were telling us that she was fidgeting over it, at least in the takes that you showed us. We didn't see that. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you, Beth. I feel like I'm fine with big boobs. Like, if that's your shtick, fine. Like, if that's what you're going to bring to the runway every week and you try and make it interesting, fine. But I think, like, for this particular garment, it's almost as if, because something's like off with the proportions. It feels like everything seems like really, really dragged down. I don't know if it's like the hair that's overlaying on top of the breast kind of look like it's like joining in with like the belt of the garment. So everything looks really, really cut off and truncated. It's like as if the slit is a little too high. She just looks shorter than she should in that big ass boot to me. So that was kind of like where I was at with it. I'm not a seamstress either. So like, I'm not about to sit here and rip it to shreds, but the proportions just don't really work for me.
Yeah, it's like everything tried to meet in the middle of her.
So it
kind of pulls your eye there. I kind of wish maybe if she had taken the slit to the side, would that have helped a little bit better? Maybe even helped with her walking. But yeah, I agree with Aman. It's just a lot going on in the midsection there, or at least it's making your eye go there. Yeah, maybe it, like you said, no breastplate, maybe make that a little smoother, like the front a little smoother, so it differentiates between the bust and the waist. It's pretty. It is a very pretty garment. I couldn't do it. Like the look. You know, it's not too bad. It's not that bad. So I get it. I get there's a few problems with it.
I think it's really pretty. I just think that there are those few little adjustments that could probably make it a little bit better, because I think I agree it is a little unflattering, maybe there's just something about the way that fabric like scrunches in the wrong places. But I think the fabric is gorgeous. I love that it's green, blue, like kind of on the inside. I mean, she's like a queen who just needs a few little tweaks to her outfit to really look super royal. And I think the hair covers up a lot at the top. That may have been intentional. But I think maybe if the hair was a little different and the slit was off to the side, I think this really could have been something magical, because I think at its core, what she was going for is something quite elegant and quite gorgeous.
Do you guys think that on television, we... were able to see as much of the makeup discrepancy when she was walking the runway. I think that that must have just been something that was really apparent in person. Because I actually, that was not the thing I worried the most about.
We never get to see that stuff. Like, I remember when during season 9, Michelle or whoever was getting on Aja so bad for her makeup. So, I think it was like the first runway or the second runway. And I was like, it don't look that bad. And then when you get to the Untucked and they zoom in on her face as she's reading Valentina, I'm like, ooh, okay.
Oh, God. What a glow up she had when she came back for All Stars, because the makeup in her season was.
You know, people often say justice for Shangela for that season. I'm more of a justice for Aja. I like, seriously. Anyway.
Okay. Let's talk about the next queen to walk the runway, and that's Miss Rita Baga in. Okay. So, CEO, sort of. Ho, not maybe, but it, holiday party? Question mark?
Yeah, is it like Halloween? Is it like Adam's family? Like, what? I don't get what this is. Like, Nightmare Before Christmas, maybe? Like, I don't know.
That's like, if anything, she's the secretary? The old
That's
secretary?
What I got. Yes. This I is mean, the administrative assistant to the CEO.
Right. The what that has the candies, the loose candies on the desk.
And one lemon.
Yeah, a lemon. Weird. I didn't like it.
To immortalize Lemon, gone but not forgotten. But of course, it didn't fit. And I don't know what lemons have to do with the holidays.
Yeah, so. She must really like her. Like, goodness gracious. Like I said, that didn't go with anything at all. Like, even if you had a Christmas outfit on, like, that still wouldn't make much sense to pull that out. But.
Like, it's a pre, like, okay, you could have done lemon as a present, right? You unwrap it, it's a lemon, okay? I don't know. Something like
that. Yeah, that would have worked. Yeah.
Or a garnish for a cocktail.
Exactly, exactly. Because it was the party. Right. I don't know if she just had this and thought it was a different category. She read it wrong. You know, she is French Canadian, so maybe there was something lost in interpretation, but she tried to sell it.
And is that just a bodysuit under that blazer thing?
I can't tell. It might be a mini dress of some sort, or it could be a bodysuit. Also, what in what world are those heels
executive strip?
Yeah, this is bad.
Yeah, this wasn't good.
The more I look at it, I'm like, what the hell?
Oh, girl, no.
And, like, the judges kept wanting a reveal. Like, I kept wanting a reveal. But then I was like, I don't think there's anything under there. Like, it is just a black bodysuit. Oh, boy.
I've seen this school secretary before when I was an admissions counselor trying to get into the school to drop off materials about my college. And they have the name tag here. And they're like, where are you going? I'm going to have the officer tell you where to go. They're going to escort you down the hall. You know, like, absolutely. But no, I would not get executive out of it.
Executive real.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, this. OK, here's the thing. If she was wearing this in an acting challenge to play this type of character, perfect. It's perfect. Uh-huh. It is not perfect for this. And I think that's where the mistake was.
I think her issue, I'm going to speculate here. Mm-hmm. I think she wore whatever she would have worn for this part of the runway in the law office sketch, or like the improv challenge kind of thing.
Oh, we got to go back there and go. Look at that.
She actually wore like a jacket and skirt suit for that. So I'm wondering if that's what happened.
Possible.
Interesting. Well,
speaking of characters, Amon, this was this was Rita's next look on the runway for the après ski party, which I think Michelle Visage described it as a one-woman show type performance.
Ooh, what a rough time she must have had. I love the fact that there's like bits of snow still on the suit. I thought that was a really nice little detail. She looks insane. I mean, she really committed to the character here. Like, there was no glamour. It was all comedy, all sketch, including the sketches on her face. Like, it was just, it was great. It was great.
Yeah, Beth, what did you think about this?
I'm like actually speechless still. It's been days since I've watched this and I still don't know what to make of it. Like, this isn't a runway outfit that I would expect, like, for a runway. I don't know. I love the character. I think that she acted it beautifully. I definitely think that it fits the theme, but I also just don't get runway outfit for it.
And it's not, it might not be drag enough. Like,
yeah, honestly, I think that's exactly it, Aman. It's not drag enough. Although, yeah. I have to say, as a fourth grader, when windsuits were really big, I had almost this exact same windsuit, and I used to wear it all the time to school, so I connected very well with this.
Yeah, it, I mean, like I said, like, it's amazing that for them, this translated to, like, the character work in this ball runway challenge. But I guess just so many seasons of watching Drag Race, balls, when you think of the ball challenge, you think of, like, drag, you think of glamour, you think of high camp, you think of, like, a lot of different ways to show the outfit, but you think of the outfit first and foremost and not the character, really. So this character work is amazing. She's doing a great job. I get the hungoverness. I get the, oh, she fell asleep somewhere she shouldn't have. Yeah. but if I'm looking at the outfit, I'm just like, okay. Like,
well, I think we're kind of, like, left for wanting because the first outfit was very underwhelming. So now it's like,
right, exactly. So it's already like, okay, I need something a little bit more. And then you get this again, which I think I'm sort of in a similar category as Beth, where it's like, I don't really know what to make of this because I love the fact that she did the, you know, you get drawn on, right, when you pass out at a party. That I think is absolutely fantastic. I actually love the windsuit. She looks like an 80s Barbie that got all her hair chopped off and then drawn on by a child. Like, that's what she looks like to me. So I think I am between, I absolutely love this and I absolutely hate this, and there's sort of no middle ground for me. I'm currently leaning towards I love it because there's just something so unique about it that this is what Rita decided to give us for a ball. And I think it's beautiful. It's so ugly that maybe it's beautiful. I don't know.
Is this the first time we're seeing, like, slipper walking shoes on the front?
She's got her moccasins
covered in snow.
Yeah.
Yes. She's selling it. She's like, if you're going to do that, that type of outfit, you have to sell it. And she sold the hell out of it. So that's why we're sitting here, like, scratching our heads.
Thinking of, what if she came out and didn't do the characterization but just tried to sell it?
She was still fabulous.
She was fabulous.
Stacey McKenzie gave Priyanka the advice at the end, like, put your arms, arch your back, right? No. Like, she's done out doing that. That would have been funny.
And I would have died.
All right. The last outfit is, of course, the Eleganza look. So, Mari, this was the sort of foam bustier crafted. I mean, to me, the dress is gorgeous, it's but amazing. I also understand where the judges were coming from and some of their critiques.
Yeah, I thought this looked really good. And for the limited time that they have, she really put a lot of work into that, a lot of detail. I really liked it. But also, it's fabric, but it's kind of like an unconventional material. So, you know, sometimes that's what happens. It's a little hard to walk in. But I don't know if she should have really been penalized for that. I really like it. It's giving me White Walker realness. So I can't complain. I love it, to be quite honest. It's, of course, to me, it's the best of her three looks.
Well,
right, exactly.
The bar was so low. She could have worn what Priyanka wore and it would have been the best of her three looks.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Aman, I think for me, I just want the foam in the front piece cut down because I don't know, maybe it would fall over. There's just too much foam.
Yeah, okay. It's really, really top heavy. And it's sort of like obstructs the outfit. I was not privy to the conversation that Michelle brought up about, you know, whether or not you're going to use cinching or hip pads and stuff like that. Because, you know, if you're going for a female illusion and not every female has the same body type. So, I wasn't really privy to that conversation beforehand. So I guess with that knowledge, maybe I'm a little less critical about that. But upon my first viewing of the outfit, I was like, yeah, it's very boxy. Like, it's not giving me the proportions that I think that you would need. But, I mean, maybe you don't necessarily need to have that all the time. So, Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that the artwork within itself is really, really something to commend her for. Like, I think that, you know, yeah, I agree with you, Liliana. If she had just shaved it down just a little bit more, I think it would be like just perfect.
Yeah, for me, the only two things I would change are if you were to shave down like the back of the foam area, and then if you were to decorate the foam with like glitter or something, that would have made it better. Because even if you saw it from behind, like their comment was, at least you'd be able to know that like you put some kind of thought into how that would look. I honestly, I don't think she needed to cinch as much as she needed those hip pads. And the only reason why I'm saying that is because traditionally, this is a very hard silhouette to pull off. There actually aren't too many quote unquote, you know what? Let me take a step back. In terms of what society says, there aren't too many body types that can pull off a look like this without some kind of cinching or padding and such, even with like normal women. You know, that's just something that is out there and pervades the at least social construct of what somebody would do in order to pull this this off. In my opinion, this is the best of the four ball looks that was constructed. I love this. This to me is a couture look. I loved all the attention to detail with it, from the crown all the way down to like the trumpet bottom. Like, it is gorgeous. The different materials that she used that seamlessly kind of work together and draws your eye in different areas. And I think that the reason why I need that hip pad is because that's a transition area from one, like from the top bodice area to the dress portion of it, like the skirt portion. So if she had the hips that kind of draw your eye there, you see the full package at one point rather than one, two, three in sections, if that makes sense. But I really love this outfit. When she came around the corner, I was like, okay, at least she nailed this one because she really needed it. But even with it being my favorite, I actually think she should have been in the bottom this week. It's over Jimbo.
Yeah.
Just I think that this saved her.
Oh,
this
totally.
Really saved her. Yeah.
Oh, you mean going home?
What?
You mean
to go home? No. I mean, like, I think so. Yeah, I think that. I think that she was good. And we'll talk about the lip sync. I think she was good in the lip sync as well. But I think that this look was like the thing that like carried her over the edge because.
Yeah.
In comparison.
Oh, okay. Sure. I was going to say, because they're both in the bottom.
Sorry. I didn't phrase that properly. Like, I know she was in the bottom already, but like.
Save her to stay in the competition. Yes, I agree. Because I think the craftsmanship here is just top notch. Like, yes, I can understand that you can quibble with those things. And I think she could have done that if she had known, because I think this is just absolutely gorgeous. Like, the fact that she made this. I mean, wow, this is outstanding to me. I think that, of course, the little things that we talked about would make it that much better. And Beth, I do get your point about the segmentation and trying to differentiate that a little bit better. Yep. Okay. The next queen that we have to talk about is Priyanka. What's her name? Priyanka. Oh, which by the way, Not Sorry About It, I believe is what the track is called, is now on Spotify and iTunes. Ooh. So if anybody wants to check that out. The line, Scarlet Bobo, looks are no-no, dressed like a clown and a show it in the promo, line has been stuck in my head for weeks. Thank God I can listen to it.
Amazing.
So, all right. We are going to take a look at her first look, which is the CEO look. So, Mari, what about this look? Did you like this look?
Love this look. When I tell you I was like, finally, somebody gets it. Like, even though you could probably say that she kind of reminds you of like the HR lady that like takes holidays like way too seriously. But I loved it. It's one of those where the CEO is like just so happy about Christmas. And like I said, she wants to spread the joy and just wave to everybody. Like, I loved everything about this. When I first just saw it on the mannequin, I was like, oof. I was like, that's a little much. But I think, again, her characterization put it over the top for me. It really did take me back to those holiday parties where I'm like, I know that one lady. I know that lady who loves Christmas a little bit too much.
Yes. Yeah, Beth, I think that's exactly what this was. I think this was my favorite look from this category.
Yes.
In terms of checking all the boxes, this is the one that does it the most for me. You can tell that this is obviously like some kind of Christmas work outfit. I don't know. Like, but at the same time, like the characterization is down. I love the flask coming out of the gingerbread hand. Like, it's so funny to me. And I love like what she was able to do with her eyes and like acting drunk and such. It was great. I think that what's so funny about this to me is that I have had quite a few friends who work in finance or in like these big companies and, you know, in the big city, and that it's, there's like a switch when it comes around Christmas for some of these characters that normally are like really uptight, kind of like business only, like really assertive, kind of like boss women. And then like all of a sudden Christmas comes and they're like, who wants a cookie? Like all of a sudden they like have like that switch. And they were telling me about it like at a Christmas party a couple years ago. And I felt like all of a sudden all my thoughts went right back to that person. So this is definitely a woman who's out there in the world. So I was really excited to see this come out. It really, honestly, all of a sudden the category made sense when she came around the corner.
Yeah. Exactly. I think she really truly embodied what the what they were going for, like what the producers thought of when they thought of this category. And maybe this is just Priyanka. Like she just really, because I do feel this kind of energy is very Priyanka-ish. And so I think that plus the outfit, which is just, I want to say I've seen people wear this look before in the office, because it just, it's quintessential. It's so ugly, but so holiday, Christmassy. Like, it's just perfect.
I love that we give this kind of, like, I don't know, we let it slide that you can just have the most gaudy, awful outfits at Christmas. And everyone's like, but it's Christmassy.
Yeah. It's the one person in the office who's trying to get everybody else in the Christmas cheer. Like, everybody's like, ugh. And yeah. She's like, come on, guys. Yeah. Christmas.
She brought that everyone a candy cane.
She was pandering to a specific audience, and that audience was me. Okay. You know, matter of fact, let me go put my lights on right now.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I love Christmas. I love it so, 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 so much. I am the Christmas king. And the minute that I like, I'm like a little older and have like a house of my own to decorate, I am going to call up Priyanka to ask her to put me in Christmas drag, because this is it. But this is it, baby. This is it. It's very sweet. It's very simple, you know, but she completed the task. And I just love the gingerbread handbag. I love Christmas. I love it.
Now, Priyanka also has a fabulous transition into the après-ski party look, where she's got the same eye makeup on, which I'm sure was a choice also because they have limited time to change. But I thought it worked. And her physicality and characterization here, Mari, okay. I think just sold this whole experience.
Oh my God. This is Priyanka. She's my favorite. And this is why, like, her whole, from the look, I love the look because it's still kind of high fashion, but it's still like the hoey, like you're getting the hoe, the after party vibe. And she is just playing it up. I love how she's like trying to play it straight. It's like, but still a little wobbly. The shoes, are those like sock shoes? I love it. Everything about this look, I really, really loved. Priyanka hit it out of the park.
Yeah, Beth, I absolutely own those socks. I don't know if hers are like the sock shoes, but like I totally have those. This was just amazing.
So remember when I talked about how you never forget your coat when you leave a party when it's cold? You might forget everything else, but you don't forget about the coat. And this is exactly what it was when she came around the corner. And like, I have seen so many girls on a Sunday in the dining hall right after a party. Yeah. And they have that exact look. She comes that does like five steps and just like, yep, that was it. And for those of you who are listening on the podcast, I did the exact, or I tried to do the things, but this was great. I honestly think this was the best one. She, for me, had the best executive realness and the best ski after party look, which was great because she needed that for the last outfit.
Yes.
I think it really told a story, you know, like she was the life of the party. something happened. She took her clothes off. Then she left the party. Yeah, like Beth said, all she had was her coat. And so, yeah, I love it. I think that the characterization is great. I love the hat, too. It's like a very exaggerated, like, beanie puffball hat. I love it.
Well, actually, that's hysterical. I didn't realize it was a hat. I thought it was just like a thick, like headband thing that you could wear.
Is that supposed to be her hair, like up there?
I thought it was her hair up there. But now now I'm realizing it's a hat. Like I thought it was a headband with like her hair sticking out of it, which I thought was hysterical. Mm-hmm. But that's even better, the fact that it's an over exaggerated puffball hat.
So amazing. Oh my God. I love this look so much.
All right. So we alluded to this look earlier, and this is Priyanka's eleganza look, aka the corset with a bunch of stuff stuck to it. So Aman, run me through. Talk about this.
You know, I don't hate this as much as Michelle did. I mean, clearly, yeah, it's a little corset with a bunch of stuff stuck on it, but I sort of liked it. I mean, I like the paper skirt too as well. I mean, I feel like it's a little flimsy, but I still feel like for the most part it held its form and I got what she was going for. Like I saw the illusion. So yeah, I mean, it's definitely in terms of like work and craftsmanship, it's on the lower end. I concede there, but visually speaking, I wasn't that mad at it. I mean, I guess when you're at the final four, you have to nitpick and compare it to the others. It's on the lower end. But if this were the top seven queens, I feel like they wouldn't be giving her this much grief. But because it's final four, it's like, really, girl, really. But I love the snow on the shoulders. I think that was really, really nice.
From like the bust up, she looks fabulous.
Beautiful.
Oh my gosh, the hair, the makeup, the sparkles on her chest, it just, and on her shoulders, Mari, I think she just looks gorgeous. I think the problem is, for me at least, is from the waist down. So I think that because especially, to continue my thought, especially the band that goes for the, I don't even know what, I don't even want to call it a skirt because it's not really a skirt, but like the lower bottom thing, the band going across her midsection just sort of cuts into the bodice also and just makes it look a little out of place.
Yeah, it really kind of sucks because if she had just put a little bit of material there, she had just maybe threw some glitter on some fabric and attached it to the corset, she could have won this challenge. Because like we said, the hair is amazing. The makeup is stunning. Everything from the bust up is gorgeous. And then it's just nothing after her waist. But like Aman said, it is cute. It's pretty, but man, it's just such a missed opportunity because this was her challenge to add another win to her column, and she just couldn't pull it off at the end at the bottom of the corset. It's so unfortunate, but I still love Priyanka, so, and she looked amazing.
Yeah, yep. I think the problem is with that band it's not really around her waist. It's like just above her waist, and it really cuts off where she's supposed to have that band. If it's a little bit lower, it at least creates that little hourglass illusion, which I know that she was going for with the cinching. That would have been helpful. I love the attention to detail she did give in order to overcompensate for the fact that she can't sew. So like, even on the paper skirt outline thing, there's a lot of different elements to it that tie into what was in the bodice. Her shoes are blue, which complement the skirt outline, the bottom portion of her bodysuit, and then they have like the white on them in order to be like the inverse of everything else, which I think is beautiful. Her makeup, her hair, the snow on her shoulders, the necklace, like all of those things are really well done. The white nails with it. It looks really great. It's just she knew what she couldn't do, and so she tried to make up for it without going, in my opinion, too overboard with it. I agree with Aman that if this had been like earlier in the competition when there was more contestants, I don't think they would have given her as much grief. But, you know, it's the final four. Like, you have to be able to compare it to the other queens, and she just didn't bring it as hard in this one category. But when you tally up everything, she did absolutely deserve to be safe, in my opinion.
Yes.
I agree with that as well. I loved her voiceover for this, where she said, "Look at me, covered in shit." But she sells this, I think, in the best way possible. I also didn't hate this as much as I think the judges did, but bolstered by the other two looks, I think really help her. I actually agree with the decision making for this this challenge. I think Priyanka should have been safe here.
Yes.
Let's move on to our winning queen, and that is Miss Scarlett Bobo, winning her first challenge, main challenge in this season. So she is going to be going all the way to the finale without having to lip sync once. So Beth, this is the executive CEO realness, which I guess she's the CEO of like a newspaper company.
That's what I thought. This is my favorite executive outfit. I didn't get the holiday as much in terms of Christmas. There was almost a sense of like, is it the New Year's Eve? Because of like the under the shirt, like holiday. Like, I don't know, like what, if it was a shirt or what it was underneath. If it was
a body she had suit. A present, Beth.
I mean, I know, but I sat back and I was like, for in terms of outfit, I don't know. But this is in terms of like actual executive look. Obviously, this just nails it on the head. She looked absolutely gorgeous. She had that soft makeup. This challenge, this ball really showed us all like how good of a makeup artist she is with every single look. So I was really impressed with this look altogether. I thought it was a really cute suit. It was tailored perfectly to her. I loved her little voiceover talking about getting rid of all the Christmas bonuses at the end of the year, like those kind of things. But I thought that this was a really cute outfit. I do like Priyanka's better for this specific category, but if it had just been executive, I think I would have liked this better.
Mm-hmm. Well, and she's got her red bottoms on. She's kicking them up. Like Mari, clearly she's going for the true CEO ho.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of it, only because it's a suit. It's a really nice tailored suit. The print is a little off-putting for me. The newspaper print, I don't get it. but her makeup is great. She was, of all the four girls, her characterizations didn't come across as well to me. They were very subtle, which when all the other girls were going dramatic, it seemed a little out of place, maybe. So, I mean, it's very middle of the road. It's a cute outfit. Her makeup looks good. She did a nice walk, but it's just very middle of the road for me. And I mean, that seems to be Scarlett's story all year.
Oh,
sorry.
But yeah, I'm on. What about you?
I know I echo everything you guys just said. I'm not really getting why it's newspaper print. And I mean, I understand the little flair with the shirt. It's giving you a little bit of holiday party realness. But other than that, it's not really clocking for me.
Maybe if it was a different color, like a brighter color, like
yeah, like why didn't you make the newspaper like red and green or something? I don't know. But then why would it still be a newspaper? It's the newspaper for me. Like I just don't get it.
Like the shirt underneath. Yeah. If
the shirt was like red and green or something like that. Yeah.
I guess they just said holiday party, right? They didn't specify exactly what holiday, so it could be New Year's that she's going for. I think Scarlett, I think, probably had my like second favorite look in every category. And so, if we're talking middle of the road. And I think the reason why I liked this one is because she looks gorgeous. It's fitted. It's executive realness. Is it CEO? Party executive realness? That I don't know, but the executive realness part for sure, I think she nailed. And when you look at Jimbo's look is the second one. I don't know. Anyway, I think she looks fabulous here, but I get the critiques about like, why the newspaper print? I mean, it just feels like this was something that she had and then decided to use it for the executive part because it does fit the executive category at least.
See, the newspaper print for me didn't bother me at all because I immediately connected with which kind of CEO that what she's doing. Oh, okay. She's like the CEO. She's an editor of a paper or magazine or something like that. She's in publication. I don't know. Something. I got like that. But I don't know.
Print media, baby, really taken off.
That's a good time for it.
I get People Magazine because I had leftover airline miles, and I was like, I'll get People Magazine because I'm not flying anywhere. They're going to expire. And I like try to talk to Puyi about it. And I'm like, hey, did you know that like this? He's like, yeah, that's been news for like weeks. Like, I'm finally reading that in People Magazine. Sorry for me. All righty. Oh, the CEO, or no, the, sorry, the ICE, what was it? The Opry ski party look, or as Brooklyn Heights described it, a phrase I never thought I would hear on television, which was, I believe, the bukkake gangbang, and then she got left out into the in the snow.
Don't edit that out. Edit.
Yeah.
Plot twist, they did not edit it out.
The narrator, yeah. Amon. So this was also a bodysuit, but she had the sparkles, or the icicles, which wasn't there another queen who had something like that before? I feel like we've seen it before. Yes, Jan.
Mm-hmm. That's immediately what I thought of when she came around the corner. I was like, okay, sure, Jan. All right, cool.
Sure, Jan.
Yeah! I don't hate it. I guess what for me, it's like the... You know what? No, I'm being hypercritical. No. This look is fine. It's fine. It's definitely après. Like she's confused. She doesn't know where she is right now. She's got some snow on her lungs, but she's gonna be all right. Just give her a little coat and send her on her merry way. I was going to say initially that I'm not really sure about the hot pink of it all, especially when it's contrasted with that lighter pink in the little necktie thing. But it's kind of flashy and poppy and fresh, and I don't, I wouldn't really necessarily go for pink when I'm thinking about a winter type look, but it sort of works here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me pull up briefly. So this is the Jan look. So if you're looking mm-hmm. at the video version, you can see Jan had sort of this, I don't know, like ice. Just, like Queen Princess Monster thing. I don't.
The original White Walker realness. Yeah, the original White Walker realness.
So that's definitely...
She was in a gangbang. That was
over.
Head to toe.
I think for this one, it's so definitely that with the hair, she's got the après ski kind of look. I kind of feel like a little bit was like she had this and then kind of went for it, where like the shoulder piece was a little repurposed. Not that I'm mad at it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Does she need pants? I don't know.
I wish she would have had like snow pants on. Like, yes. That's what I wish was with mm-hmm. this outfit. I get that she wanted to do like the kind of like leg warmer booty kind of thingy at the bottom, but I really wish she had like, I don't know, another element to it. Like, even if they'd been like snow pants that clearly weren't going to do anything, like some kind of like almost like legging like slopes, snow pant or something. Mm-hmm. But I love this outfit from the like frozen scarf up. Like, I think that's incredible. Like, you can tell that she slept in the snow last night and there's no way she should be alive right now. Like,
right.
That's what happened to her. And she's coming back awake and going, I don't know where I am, but I'm alive. Okay, where's the next party? Oh, where do I get back to my room? Like, I love that. I like the characterization of it. But yeah, I don't know. It wasn't my favorite look, but I definitely, it's so weird because like so many of these looks have been like, you're discovering aspects of them, like not within just the moments that are on the runway, but like as we're sitting here talking about it, like, mm-hmm. So it's kind of hard to judge, I think, just in that moment.
The look it's serviceable. Like, it's cute. It mm-hmm. matches the runway category. She's doing a good job selling it, but that's kind of been my problem with Scarlett. Is like, nothing she does seems like punchy, like over the top, like avant-garde, like Rita's, or extra campy, like Jimbo, or high fashion with a twist, like Priyanka. Like, it's just good. It's just good.
Yeah. It's just good. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sorry, Liana, go ahead.
No, sorry, Beth.
I kind of got the feeling she's just like a Barbie that's in between two outfits.
It's very Barbie. That pink is so Barbie. Very Mattel. But yeah, this, so to, of course, quote my favorite Sorry About It song, as Lemon says, like, Scarlet always safe. Scarlet Starzy always safe. And that last girl, what's her name? Okay. Let's talk about the very last look here. And that is, of course, the Eleganza look for Scarlet Bobo. Now, she goes for this sort of like warrior princess look, which was unexpected. But it was kind of cool to see her go for it, especially knowing that she didn't have much sewing experience. I think that this was a safe and smart decision for her, Beth. What were you thinking about this?
I really liked this. And I know that I have throughout the season been really big of a stickler for the shape. And we've talked a lot about that tonight as well. And this is an example of someone who might have more of a boxy body, but like finds a silhouette in a way that's without having to shape yourself, that still gives off a more feminine illusion. And what I like about it the most is when you have, a feminine illusion that still has a lot of masculine aspects to it. Like that is what I think makes this outfit so awesome. Cause there's a slight androgynous feel to the outfit there, but you understand the concept of it at the end of the day. Like, I think that that's what I love so much about the outfit. Without having any real sewing experience, she was able to make something that clearly has a lot put into it without being too over the top, that's still drag and fashion. And I thought this was a really great look for her. This is exactly like, you know, Mari was just saying how, you know, you go from being safe every single week and not having that extra oomph. And she brought that extra oomph with this outfit.
What is that around her waist? I can't tell, like, the just white strip there around her waist.
I think it's just white fabric.
Yeah.
Like, you're talking about the stuff that's, like, right above her, like...
Yeah, her the short, panty that
booty,
she made.
The booty shorts. I think it's a faux fur
kind of thing, yeah.
Oh, like, kind of like trying to be, like, a belt almost moment. Sure. Maybe.
I thought it is like a hem. I thought it was like a hem across the top of the
kind of thing. This is a cute look. I like the makeup and the wig styling way better. I think the makeup and the hood, it puts it over the top. The cloak that I think she had, what Rita helped her make, is amazing. And I think that's what sold it, because honestly, it's a bikini, you know, with stuff on it, which is fine, but it's but it's the styling of it that makes it really good. It's the styling that puts it over the top. I do love everything about the face. I love the warrior princess vibe. I like how she walked in it. So yeah, it's good.
The interaction that made me laugh in the workroom was when Jimbo was trying to help her make the cape.
Jimbo, that's what it was, yeah.
And it was like, so this is going to be four pieces. She's like, but I only have one piece. She was like, you cut it into four pieces. You're speaking a completely different language. Like, okay, so you have one piece cut into four pieces. But this is where, Beth, to your point earlier, oh my gosh, her makeup skills are out of this world. She looks gorgeous. And she looked gorgeous. Her face looked gorgeous in every single look. I think that was the thing, Amon, that really pushed this over the edge for me.
Yeah, I only have one note, and it's a kind of silly one, because I mean, it's a tall order to try to fill, but she wanted to go for like this Viking warrior thing. Then I think that she should have gone full Valkyrie. I would have loved to have seen some wings on the back, you know what I mean? Just to like really just go all in. But of course, you know, asking someone to construct wings when they can't even understand cutting one piece of fabric into four pieces might not be the best route to go. But I like the look. I was a little bit iffy on it in the beginning, but the more and more that I look at it, I'm like, okay, to come from where she was coming from, like not knowing how to necessarily put together a garment, I think this is a valiant first effort. So good for
her. I wish
her.
She had a white staff. Like, I think
I'm using like a prop. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they didn't have that, though. I'm not entirely sure all of the materials that they were provided with, but maybe that was a limitation.
That's probably true. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the judges, of course, give their critiques, but we also get the memory moments. So this is, you know, I think an opportunity for a lot of the queens to look back and share something emotional. And especially with Scarlett, we actually learn a little bit about her in this episode. The fact that her stepdad was an alcoholic and would beat his mom. And then we have the picture with Scarlett's mom and him. I just thought that was really emotional. And I'm, you know, this was, I think, one of the first times where for some reason I was happy it was included, because usually it's like, meh, whatever, it's fine. But this was really emotional for me watching all of it, because I don't know, I've gotten to know these queens so well, and it was really nice that they included it.
Definitely. Yeah, these moments are always kind of like, is this exploitive? You know, but then you realize, like, yes, the queens are talking to themselves, but they're also talking to the other little kids out there watching, you know, so mm-hmm. it serves a purpose, you know, and it was really good. I love Priyanka telling Brooklyn to put the picture down. I was die.
Yeah, just like, I can't deal with this. This is too emotional, which I think even Rita talks about in the Untucked sort of segment. I don't like to talk about anything, especially things that are emotional. Oh no, we're really doing this.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's always important to see those, because, you know, it just humanizes them and reminds a bunch of queer people that, you know, it's a bit of a universal struggle that we all go through into varying degrees. And it's just important to be kind, because, you know, a lot of queer people don't even make it mm-hmm. to a certain point right. of life, because they feel like it's just too hard. So yeah. I feel like the more and more I really, really liked what Priyanka said to herself, like, just be gay, just do it, like, be mm-hmm. gay, because yeah. that's like the hardest thing for a lot of people to overcome. And so I thought that was really nice.
Absolutely. The judging, of course, comes up next, where Scarlett Bobo, like we talked about, finally gets her first win. Priyanka, drunk Priyanka, potentially, is declared safe.
Hilarious.
She was just really fully embodying the two characters that she was playing on the runway earlier. Mm-hmm. And we end up having Rita versus Jimbo, which is a matchup I never thought would happen. And I think Priyanka was amazed that it happened. I think I was a little bit amazed. But based on what happened in this episode, I do believe that this was the right decision to have the two of them lip sync against each other, Beth.
Yeah, it's really hard. I felt like Rita was like the clear person to be in the bottom, despite the fact that her last garment was obviously, it was my favorite. I had a hard time with, I always have a hard time with, how do you judge a ball? Do you judge a ball based off of the prepackaged looks that queens brought and then let them save themselves based off of what really was the main challenge? Or do you base it off of the main challenge, which was constructing a garment? And it's really difficult in this situation, just because Priyanka just so nailed the first two looks in the presentations. Mm-hmm. And she obviously went above and beyond with trying to overcome her shortcomings with the last one. It was really tough for me. I would have been fine if Priyanka was in the bottom as well, but I do think that that would have meant Priyanka would have gone. I don't know. Maybe Priyanka mm-hmm. would have just nailed that lip sync too. I don't know. But I don't know. Jimbo's hard to, because she's in the middle of Rita and Priyanka. So mm-hmm, yeah. I think that that's how you end up putting Jimbo in the bottom, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. And then Amon. So the lip sync song here was Closer by Tegan and Sarah. And I think Jimbo really needed to take the headpiece off. Like, I think that just got in her way.
She couldn't really do much. I mean, it was to the point where, like, she was, it's kind of like Rita Baggett was like sort of like throwing her a couple bones, you know, like to try and like interact with her. That was like the most exciting part of mm-hmm. the lip sync, was you interacting with Rita. So yeah, she was a bit encumbered by the outfit. So I guess that critique that they gave on the runway before was really rearing its ugly head during the lip sync. But you know, she might have the most iconic exit of the season. So there's definitely that. I don't think anybody's ever told the judges fuck you while leaving.
Oh my gosh, that's so, I'm having fun with the thumbnails this season for the podcast. It's such a minor detail, but I'm having fun with it, and I'm trying to decide what picture
that is high art
should be the thumbnail this week, because this just, Jimbo's exit Oh my gosh.
Oh, wow.
It was fabulous.
It was good. And it made me wonder because Priyanka seemed shocked that she was safe. And then Jimbo didn't seem pretty prepared for the number. So I wonder if Priyanka thought she was going to be the bottom and Jimbo thought she was going to be safe. Because, yeah, I don't understand why she didn't take the crown off or, you know, anything off. So it's unfortunate to see Jimbo's time come to an end like that, because I know, at least for me, I was a really, really big Jimbo fan throughout the season. I think the only thing I can think that got him was just being so amazing out the gate and coming with so many high concept, very avant-garde stuff out the gate. And then the last 3 weeks kind of being in that same sexy box, like that same, he got stagnant there for a minute. And I think Final Four, and you know, anybody can go, it can be anybody's game, and it just got to him.
And I think that was kind of Priyanka's point too, was are you supposed to have growth? Are you supposed to get better with time? Where, yeah, I do feel that with Jimbo. And I think that's where it's a little bit of like, I don't know, just disappointment a little bit. But at the same time, Jimbo is still iconic. This lipstick in particular, I think even though Rita had the awkward cutting the dress off thing, which is like, is this necessary? But ultimately, Jimbo just didn't necessarily feel like Jimbo's 100% heart was in it. I don't know if Jimbo knew all the words. There were a few times where it was like, oh, this is a little off. So ultimately, Beth, I think I'm okay with the decision of Rita being in the finale and Jimbo going home here.
I am too. It's a big loss because I do think that Jimbo was a big fan favorite for this season. Jimbo, not, I'm not saying that their drag is the same, but Jimbo kind of represents those, like the people who come from like another form of counterculture within, Drag Race. I think about Sharon Needles. I think about people like that who just have this different vibe to them, which I think is really fun and exciting. And in Evie Oddly, I mean, people like, and you've seen those queens win. You've seen them take the crown because they're so fiercely who they are. But I do think there just wasn't a level of growth. And actually something that I feel like hurt Jimbo is I think throughout the competition, we saw a level of cockiness grow instead of skills or like looking inwards. I think that that's probably what ended up being kind of a downfall, was maybe a little bit of hubris. I don't know.
Maybe, yeah.
I think Jimbo will be back at some point some iteration. Because Jimbo's a straight up clown. Like, no, I mean literally a clown. Like Jimbo talked about like doing vaudeville and training with the clown school or whatever. And I read about this in the article as well that I referenced earlier. And so I think that that's just something unique. And I think that Jimbo did capture the attention of so many different people, which is really, really interesting and so fascinating. So even though it is adieu for now, I do not think it will be goodbye forever.
Right. I feel like Jimbo's one of the few Drag Race queens that I would really like to see do Dragula.
Yes. Or like,
yeah, I could see that.
Guest host. Guest host.
Do something like that. She just has such a different perspective. And I think that she would just have such an interesting perspective to come in on a show like Dragula.
I agree. Yeah. Next week is the finale. Guys, we did it. We're almost there.
I know.
1 week left. And then we could take a break for at least a little bit. Rumor has it they're filming the other seasons now for All Stars and season 13. But anyway.
So, I still cannot believe that. That's crazy. Are they really not going to take a break with All Stars? Wow, it's crazy.
Yeah. I did see a rumored cast list. I was like, oh my God, it is real. It's happening. Oh God.
I got a notification. I didn't get to check it out yet.
We'll touch on that maybe at some point. But anyway, so let's get through Canada's Drag Race first. So for the finale, we are getting the, of course, music type challenge where they're going to have to do a remix of RuPaul's You Wear It Well. And it does seem that the eliminated queens are back for reunion. So this reminded me of the All Stars 5 sort of reunion type style, which I actually kind of like, where all the queens just like come back in, they get to hash out whatever their issues are. are. So I'm looking forward to that, especially because it was like, oh, they're Canadian. They're so polite. And maybe we'll get some drama out of this. All right. Well, before we completely wrap things up, I want to take a moment to stop over at our charity corner. So we've been dedicating some time to point out a charity each week. So the charity that we've picked for this week is the Black Health Alliance. So this is a community-led registered charity that works to improve the health and well-being of Black communities in Canada. So this is a specifically Canadian charity. We want to take the time to plug those charities that are doing great work in Canada to help to grow their movement, deliver groundbreaking research, strong partnerships to people to improve Black health and well-being within many communities in Canada. So if you're interested in donating, the website is blackhealthalliance.ca. So you can go ahead and check that out. There's a donate button right there. You can see all the work, the wonderful work that they're doing at Black Health Alliance. So again, that's blackhealthalliance.ca. Okay, that does it for this week. Mari, thank you so much for coming on to talk with us about this episode and, of course, your other thoughts on Drag Race as well. What are you up to? Where can people find you on social media?
I would just first like to say thank you, guys. This was amazing. I'm glad I was able to get in here before Canada Drag Race ended. You can find me on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much. That's two, like the number two. I'll be there talking about Big Brother, Drag Race, anything that reality TV based and wrestling. So follow me if you want to.
Great. One programming note, actually, before we get out of here. So next week, we may not have a video podcast. Maybe, may not. There is one of us, aka me, is going to be traveling. Don't worry, social distancing and all that jazz. Still, I'm also getting tested for COVID. Don't worry. Okay, be safe. Wear your mask.
I got tested. Oh, it sucks. I hated that thing.
It's not horrible. That bad, Amon. We need people to get tested.
Yeah, you're right. It feels lovely, guys. Go get tested.
Probe, probe.
Listen, it'll just be a nose swab.
Well, research here at Yale, which actually started because of like some random grant that nobody thought was ever going to work, developed the saliva test, which has actually been shown to be pretty accurate, or like 100%, not 100%, like 99% accurate. Anyway, so hopefully, yes, we don't have to do any brain probing anytime soon. It doesn't actually poke your brain. That's a joke.
It's getting better. It's getting better. Stay safe.
Yeah. If you have to get the sinus cavity test, just think like getting that versus being on a ventilator is a little less painful.
Exactly. Or having loved ones on a ventilator.
Good point. Right? Correct. Very good point. Very good point.
But anyway, so we will absolutely have a podcast next week. It may be audio only, but just keep an eye out for that. Now we will be back. It will probably be just family next week with the lovely Amon. Amon, what are you up to? Where can people find you on social media?
You can find me at Amon Adwin, talking all about Big Brother All-Stars. I also have my Glee podcast with Matt Liguori, The Choir Room. Check us out there. We are in the middle of season 5 now, and that's it.
And Beth, you will be with us for the finale. Where can people find you on social media? What are you up to?
Yes, you can find me at AugustaWind11 on both Instagram and Twitter, as well as my Twitch page, twitch.tv/AugustaWind11, where you will find me podcasting with my weekly meltdown about Big Brother 22. We do feeds updates on Tuesdays and live eviction post live eviction episodes on Thursdays.
And you can find me on social media on Twitter at LianaRHAP. I am podcasting about Big Brother, both doing the Saturday morning updates with Taryn and also on the RHAP B&B. So Mike Bloom and I are having just so much fun with everything that's going on with Big Brother. We try to look into the silly side. So if you're coming to us for info and what's happening in the house, that is not the place to go. But we are playing some fabulous games. There's actually a game I'm super excited about for next week where the Mike is going to have to guess between whether Kacer said that quote or our very own Amon tweeted that quote. Amon, you are the inspo for a game that we're going to be playing, not this week, but the next week. So look out for that.
Oh, wow. Here we go.
I can't think of a better promotion. No, they're all good. They're all good. It's lovely. Mike and I also wrapped up our coverage for the B&B for Survivor, the Survivor rewatch we are doing, which we had Corey Cool, who you've heard as a guest on this podcast talking about the Borneo finale. All right, one more promotion, and that is Love Island. Okay, yes. So if you need reality TV to watch, you need to check out Love Island, because the worldwide sensation Love Island is back for season two in the U.S., which is such a unique dating show. Although, you know, they're in Vegas now, it's less of an island, more of a villa, but it doesn't matter, because the show gives you the power to vote for your faves all season long. If you're frustrated with Big Brother, you want to have an impact on a show, Love Island is the one for you. So the show airs on CBS starting Monday, August 24th, so it's already going on, but that's okay. It's only a week. You can catch up. And then it's every night of the week except for Wednesdays. And of course, Kirsten McInnes and Brian Scally are going to be having coverage every Wednesday and Saturday with recaps that take the show even less seriously than it takes itself. So if you want to support Love Island coverage, you want to support us, you want to support Big Brother, all of this podcasting is made possible with the support of the RHAP patrons. So go to patreon.com and check out the Rob Has a Podcast Patreon. You can support all of us. You get access to special content like our patron podcast feed, our Facebook and Discord channels as well. You can also go to robhasawebsite.com/Patreon. Shout out to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Leave your star ratings and reviews on iTunes or rate that podcast. And we will talk to y'all soon. Bye.
Bye.